Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and is that Willie Donick in studio?
Yo, yo.
He's back.
I thought you weren't real.
I thought you were real. In the flesh. Oh, Willie.
Welcome back, Willie.
Still adjusting back from the Pacific time zone. The Predators in the last week and a half have played in all four time zones. That's a lot of travel.
Indeed.
Eastern, we've been to Washington, D.C., a back-to-back to South Florida. Mm-hmm. That's not your normal back-to-back.
No.
That's brutal, especially the Eastern Conference. Come on. So we've been to the southern tip of Florida, and then back to Central Time, over to Mountain Time, out to Pacific Time. So we've been in Vancouver and in Florida, and now they're, of course, in Seattle for the next couple of days. It's a TNT game. So Mace and I traveled back yesterday and are ready to rock and roll today.
We did hear some good news from Chase McCabe because of the time change. We will have Roman Josi on our program tomorrow right off the hop at 11:05. Usually a player joins Chase and Big Joe, but because the Predators are a couple of hours behind, we have the pleasure of talking to the captain tomorrow at 11:05. Now, Willie, I've made the trek from Vancouver to Nashville on a commercial airline. It is a long trek. And as we all know, the rules that govern polite society do not apply to airports. Did you have any unsettling experiences on your journey yesterday?
Only brief, not at the airport. The airport stuff went very smooth. The layover, no issues there. No scheduling issues. But I will say, coming in from Vancouver to Denver, there was some serious turbulence. Like spooky. Like, people on the plane getting a little unnerved on the approach. And the guy told us, you know, the pilot's like, let me just tell you, it's going to get a little bumpy. Hang in there. We'll be all right. But this is just how it is sometimes coming in to Denver. And he was not lying. You ever get
if
that?
If only you can get frequent flyer miles, Willie.
You get the jumps and stuff, and you get a little warm. You start sweating a little bit. You're like, when is this thing going down? Let's get this thing on the ground.
It's not comfortable. If only you have frequent flyer miles.
You see some strange behavior in airports. Like I said, the rules that govern polite society do not apply at the airport.
I love airport watching. Like,
yes.
People watching in air, I love it. Especially like at the newer airports where they build like these bars in the middle of the gates, and you can just sit there. If you got a flight that don't leave for about 2 hours or whatever, you can just sit there at the bar. You don't have to have, an adult beverage. You can just have a Sprite or something. But just watch all the people as they come and they go, arguing in the corner, little kids running around, snotty nose, everything. It's just, it's bad. It's amazing.
People lose all spatial awareness at airports. They walk very slowly. They're looking at the gates and the board with all of the departure times, and they never realize that you're right behind them, and you run into them, and then they get mad at you for running into them because they're stopped in the middle of a busy hallway.
There's always that guy.
And I mean, you can eat whatever you want at any time at an airport. You can drink at any time you want at an airport. I mean, you see some strange things.
But one thing they do need to have at airports, because listen, some people spend darn near the half of their existence in and out of airports, you know, especially if you're working corporate and you're traveling back and forth. You spend a lot of money a lot of time in airports. They need to upgrade all of the seats in the airport, every last one of them. They need to upgrade them. And for starters, if you are going to have a charging port underneath the seat, as a lot of them do, thank you for finally doing that, make sure it works. Make sure it works.
Amen.
I've been to several where I just sit down. I'm like, yes, I got a perfect spot, not near anyone, because I don't like to be near people, too. When I'm in the airport, I like to just sit in my little space and have my little time, you know,
right,
at the airport. I sit there and I'm like, yes, I got the charging station. Everything's perfect. I go to plug it in and it doesn't work.
Oh, no.
I'm like, no wonder ain't nobody sitting over here, because it doesn't work. So, one, plus seats. You're making enough money. You can put some better seats. And make sure every port is working in the airport. Okay, if you're going to have it, make sure it's working.
You know what people like to do at the Nashville airport, I've noticed? Every few gates, they have those recliners that are the massage chairs.
Yes.
But nobody ever actually uses the massage feature.
Yeah, you're right.
Feature.
I don't like sitting in those
they
seats.
They just sit in them.
I don't like sitting in those because I feel bad if I'm not paying.
Yeah.
So I never sit in them.
That
unless
makes one
like
of you
no
because I think a lot
all,
of people like to sit in them sit without paying for
yeah. All right. Now here is something that happened yesterday. It was not that much of a layover, but we had a layover in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mace even saw this. I went and sat because, you know, everybody kind of gets into their own world. They're sitting in one of these seats. You plug in your phone. You got your, headphones in, whatever kind of headphones you like, and you just try to zone out until it's time to do something. You try to keep an eye on, is it my group that's boarding and stuff like that? Is there a gate change or something? But, I mean, these people, everybody kind of goes off in their own island, unless you're watching your kid or something
exactly.
like that. So I had these people sitting around me. Nobody was paying attention to anything. I'm sitting. And there is a mouse that pops out from underneath the there's like cushiony seats.
Uh-huh.
So he's got like darkness underneath. You know, sometimes there are seats and you can see everything that you can slide your bag under there if you want. Glad I didn't do that.
Yes.
But it's kind of a couch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And out pops this mouse. Like, and the mouse is kind of like, he's all by himself.
Uh-huh.
He's running around going, how did I get here? Why am
and
I
how
here?
Do I get out?
And how do I get out of here? Where
is this mouse having an existential crisis?
He looked like he was. But the funny part was, I think I was the only guy that even
saw it.
There's people sitting all around it, but I'm looking around going, is anybody?
Are you sure you weren't hallucinating?
I was not hallucinating.
Okay.
And the funny part was, like, you know, there's always, like, it doesn't freak me out. Mm-hmm. One mouse, like, I wasn't, like, jumping up on my chair or anything. I was like, oh,
like a cartoon elephant.
It's like if it was in my house, like we have to address this.
Yes.
But I'm out of here. 10 minutes we're boarding.
I
and
just pick up
my
stuff.
My
make
problem.
Sure, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure it doesn't get in there.
Yeah. There wasn't food all over the floor or anything. So I'm like, let's just see what this would happen. I'm looking around, people watching.
Uh-huh.
I was sure I was going to see that person freak out and start screaming and yelling and having everybody panic. Nobody said a word. So the mouse is like going, somebody help me out here. Come on. Show me where's the nearest field, you know. Get me back underneath where all the, you know.
Can you give me directions
back
underneath?
Can I get some darkness? Like, this is too bright out here. Like, I got lost.
Oh, man.
Well, we're glad you're back, Willie. It's not the same when you're not in the studio. But David Janes tells me in my ear that we have some breaking NFL news.
Boy.
The New York Jets have fired general manager Joe Douglas.
I thought you were about to say the Giants fired their GM for that.
They might eventually.
Yeah. But Joe Douglas is gone before their.
But the Jets have fired their GM, Joe Douglas. First Robert Saleh, now Joe Douglas. This is not the best time to remind all of you that I chose the Jets to win the AFC East.
I had them in the playoffs.
Well, shouldn't the owner fire himself?
If only that were possible.
He should fire himself because he is the one that signed off on basically giving the franchise to Aaron Rodgers. That's basically what he did.
And were there people around here who wanted the Titans to do the same
absolutely.
With Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
I remember someone talking about it. So
yes.
I'm not 100%
do we know
sure.
anybody?
Yeah, we all know somebody. We may know the same person.
They might be coming up here in like a couple hours.
Exactly.
Yes,
so.
But boy. The New York Jets have now fired GM Joe Douglas. So a lot happening in New York. Daniel Jones benched as quarterback 1, now quarterback 3 for the New York Giants. It's not going well for your New York slash New Jersey based NFL franchises so far this season.
No, it hasn't. But listen, we're not too far behind. We are not too far behind. Based upon the records, what has happened the last couple of years. Yeah, the Titans aren't too far behind from something like this potentially happening here in Nashville. So, you know, don't laugh at the Jets and the Giants, what they're going through, because this situation here isn't any better.
I'm curious, and I have not looked at those particular two teams' cap situations, but to me that's always a big part of the process of getting back where you want to go, mm-hmm. is how hamstrung are you. We talked about the Saints, who have actually rallied under their interim coach. They played quite well, but they still have a mountain of salary cap stuff in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine the Jets with the Rodgers contract, I don't know how you get out of that. Is he going to play next year? Like, what do you do? Like, you wonder what the new GM comes in and tries to do, because you have who you have, right?
Yeah.
Like, you inherit the problems of the previous GM. And that's where I think the Titans still have some decent flexibility. Mm-hmm. with what to do with their roster. The problem is when you just haven't drafted and developed mm-hmm. enough good players, the options are limited and how you get better.
And I sent you guys that article. Well, it wasn't an article. It's just a snapshot of teams dating back to 2014 to the present, but not counting the 2024 season. And the percentages of teams' draft picks that made it to a Pro Bowl. And you start to look, and obviously, you know, you start with the winning teams, and you start to see how many, you know, Baltimore has, the Kansas City has, Buffalo, San Fran, teams that have been winning consistently during this time period.
This thing that you sent us on Instagram, uh-huh. I believe the name of the account is Pickin'em. There's no punctuation in this, so I'm hoping it's called Pickin'em. And I don't know what the source of this is. Perhaps this account did the math themselves. But it says each team's percentage of draft picks that became Pro Bowlers since 2014, mm-hmm. excluding 2024. And according to this, the Lions are number one at 19.8%.
Yes.
For context, the Titans are 16th at 8.2%. I don't know if this includes, I assume this includes players that were drafted by the Titans that might have become Pro Bowlers with other teams.
No, it's just pro guys that they drafted that then became Pro Bowlers for them.
Okay.
Yes.
So the Titans are 16th on this list at 8.2%. But I'm looking at the top five. The Lions at 19.8%. That makes sense.
Yes.
Right? The Cowboys at 17.2%.
That makes sense, too, because they got good players.
Yeah, they do.
And they've had good seasons.
It's not helping them win this season.
Yeah, it hasn't amounted to Super Bowl.
But 2014, that's ancient history.
Yeah.
Like, that's your whole lineup is going to turn over.
Exactly.
So they probably – I'd be more curious to sort of split the difference, more like 2018, 2019.
Just the last couple of years.
Because there's very few players still – how many players who were drafted in 2014 are still in the league? There's some, but – not that many, right?
But players that have made a Pro Bowl, so it could have been one. It could have been throughout, you know, they had a Pro Bowler just about every year, you know, from 14 to 2023. Guys that we drafted. They could be repeaters.
Sure.
You know, so.
Well, Derrick Henry, I'm sure, is on that list.
It helps the Titans.
For the Titans, that ups your batting average there.
Yeah.
Taylor Lewan.
Yes.
Kevin Byard.
Kevin Byard.
Jarrell Casey.
Yeah. Jarrell Casey would be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did we say Derrick Henry?
Yeah, we said Derrick Henry.
Okay.
Did AJ go while he was here?
I think maybe once or twice.
It might have been once.
AJ Brown was a Pro Bowler in 2020.
Also, okay, so one, you have to say.
Mm-hmm. It's different
the
now.
Pro Bowl, there's a lot of people that make –
remember,
the Pro Bowl.
The line of demarcation is the Pro Bowl versus the Pro Bowl games. If you've made the Pro Bowl games.
Is that the same as the Pro Bowl?
No, it's not.
And I don't know. It's probably because it's the Pro Bowl games, there's not as much as this. But remember, there was a ton of players that they got elected to the Pro Bowl. So D-Mace makes the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the next tier. D-May says, I got to get ankle surgery or something. I need rest. I'm injured. So they now say, well, Willie, you go to the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. So now more and more people are in the Pro Bowl. So it kind of dilutes. Mm-hmm.
Remember, we discussed this when the Titans were playing the Dolphins and Tyler Huntley was starting at quarterback right. for the Dolphins. He was a Pro Bowler.
Yes, yeah. With the Baltimore Ravens.
That's right. And did he look like a Pro Bowler in that game against the Titans?
So he's on that list. He ups the batting average for whoever drafted him.
Yeah.
So, I guess that would be the Ravens. Did they draft him?
Yes.
Yes, okay. The Ravens drafted him.
Okay. Score.
Yeah. So you.
So there's difference between Huntley. And, you know, Jeffrey Simmons or Derrick Henry, right?
But that does tell. It doesn't tell, like, the whole story in regards to your record. Because, listen, you can – if you are a bad team, more than likely you're not going to get anyone in. And if you do, it may be one guy. Or if it's a situation where you have good players, but you had injury too, which contributed to your bad season, you may get more than one or two guys in. But if you look at it, you know, the teams that are batting high in regards to the Pro Bowl and making it to percentages, typically those are teams that are good teams. Because I don't think, even with the Pro Bowl games, I get that. But after, they're not saying who actually played in it. They're saying who got selected as a Pro Bowler. So you can tie that directly to how your season is going. Even the Dallas Cowboys, look at the last 3 years minus this year. They were a 12-win team, and they had a bunch of Pro Bowlers. Now, it didn't amount to anything once they got in the playoffs, but I think if the percentages are high in regards to that, then typically that's a good team. Now, there are, like I said, there are situations where, you know, the team isn't good, but typically it's because of injury. But if you look at the Titans roster, beside Derrick Henry and Jeffrey Simmons, I think those were the last two guys that have been Pro Bowlers for the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons and Derrick Henry.
I'd have to go back and look at the list, but the most notable thing to me, because, again, there's a big difference between take 5 years of drafts, 2014 through 2018, and then another, 6 or 7 years, 2019 through 2024. You might have two different stories. Like the Lions weren't very good from 2014 to 2020.
It's imagine that percentage is beefed up over the past few years.
They're on a hot streak for sure. And the Titans have gone the other way. But the notable one for me, the Patriots, dead last and a distant last, 3-point-something percent. Like way lower than even number 31 on the team. So that's over a decade of not great drafting, and yet they've got a couple of rings in there.
It helps when you have Tom Brady.
Yeah, but it also probably doesn't bode well for Bill Belichick, and if he wants to come back in some form, that would have to be addressed. Like
there were some rumors
Bill,
that what perhaps happened on he these could drafts? Be connected to the Jaguars if they were to make a change. Perhaps that's Bill Belichick's way back in.
I've also heard somebody on our show say, you know, he's on a first-name basis with him, apparently. He says, bring in Bill. Bring in Bill Belichick. He knows football. He knows football. But I would have to ask that question to Jared if he is still in the mode of let's clean house and bring in people that, quote, know football because this group is incompetent. That's his premise. Bill Belichick, he presided over those drafts, I believe.
I would presume.
I mean, he is a big part of who gets drafted, I think.
Yes.
He kind of runs the show. 3.3% of his draft picks since 2014 have made the Pro Bowl. That's questionable.
Indeed it is. I'm curious what the Jets, we mentioned, their general manager, Joe Douglas, has been fired according to multiple reports. Aaron Rodgers, I saw someone say, you know, it was the gif of the young girl swinging while there's a burning house behind her. That's what Aaron Rodgers is right now with the Jets. If the Jets were to cut him, and I think they could maybe post June 1st and save a little money, anybody taking a chance at Aaron Rodgers after this?
He would be 41.
Yeah, nobody taking a chance.
I mean,
I can't see.
I feel like somebody would.
You
right?
think?
Maybe.
After what happened.
There's always a team sitting there going, well, he's better than our guy. You know,
yeah, you got a point.
Might
there.
Be better than our guy.
Yeah, he would be better than our guy in a sense. But would he disrupt the locker room?
Yes.
That's the issue. Is there? So the answer is, it's a, the question is answered. Yes.
Yes.
He would.
Yes. I'm just not sure he's good enough to be worth the trouble anymore. When he was winning MVPs in Green Bay, and then there were reports about how, hey, he might be somebody's vice presidential running mate. If back in the day, there's you could you know, he could do both.
You get a lot of stuff mm-hmm. with him, right? That's fair to say.
But you're not getting the most important thing, the winning.
Yeah. Now, how much is that on him, and how much is that just a flawed team, a flawed franchise?
Well, he's the reason why – he's a part of the reason why they are flawed.
Yeah, yeah. You know? It's a bad marriage.
Exactly. And he told them, this is the guy I want, this is the guy I want, and this is the guy I want, and these guys haven't worked out.
615-737-1025. We will get into the Titans, of course, and we'll start that with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the 11-0 Ensworth Tigers, who won a postseason game last week. By the way, their first postseason win in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Ensworth. We'll talk to Tim about that. We'll talk to him about Will Levis, the New York Jets, the NFL, and more coming up next. But before we do that, tune into Stoneman & Company today from 2 to 6 for your chance to win Jelly Roll tickets for the performance at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, November 26th. That's 1 week from today. Jelly Roll Ticket Contest is supplied by Chiba Hut Subs, serving up dank food and chill vibes, now open in Donaldson. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, Tim Hasselbeck. First off, Tim, congratulations on your team's win last week.
Thanks. You didn't say 11-0.
I'm sorry. The 11-0 Ensworth Tigers. Did I mention they were 11-0?
We're 11-0. And good shutout. Good shutout. Playoff win. You know, D. Mace was there, saving three parking spots.
I was gonna. We wanted an update on the cones. Was it a 2-cone situation or a 3-cone situation?
Five cones. You know, five cones. You know, I gotta.
Did you bring your RV in there?
I had to, you know, park my car like, you know, parallel parking. I had the parallel pocket, you know.
It's unbelievable.
So like two, I had to at least have two, like 3 feet on both sides once I'm parallel parked, so I can walk around my car.
Just want to know how long you stayed. You know what I mean? Like, just want to know how long you stayed.
Not long. But y'all got the victory. That's all that matters.
And now Ensworth will take on the defending state champs, Macaulay, at Ensworth on Friday.
Oh man, how does it feel, Coach?
How many spots do you need this week, D-Mace?
Oh man, I may be driving a truck this week, so maybe like six.
You might want to put a
12.
You might want to put a helipad at the 50-yard line.
Yes, please. I could come in like Bud used to come in back in the days.
Yeah. Okay, we have room for you out here at Ensworth, D-Mace. You know that. We might have to go. You might over by like our little golf area by the Harper River. You can land over there.
See, how many schools do you know where their head coach can say, "Yeah, over there by our golf course over on the other side."
Hey, listen, I will say this. So, like, you know, when I do this, you know, I'm at school now. So when I do this interview with you guys, you know, I actually go to the baseball press box, you know, so we don't have to, like, hear kids in the hallway or anything like that. Uh-huh. And so I'm looking out over our field. And so, like, people do need to come. Like, our grounds crew is amazing. We got a nice little setup for our end zones this week. It'll be pretty cool. So
can't wait to see it.
Now, I can't promise everyone I got them three parking spots like you get, D-Mace. But
Let's not tell nobody else.
Can't promise the campus will look great.
I'm just imagining Derek Mason as. Do you remember the fan man, the parachutist James Miller?
Yes.
I can just imagine Derek parachuting onto the field.
And isn't that the guy that got beat up at the boxing match because he parachuted in on a ring?
I believe he might have.
Who is it? Vander Holyfield was one of the
fighters. Yeah, that's what
against
it,
Buster
it was,
Douglas.
Yeah, it was one of those fights where the guy Fan Man came in and
was
got
that
tangled
Fan
up.
Or is that a different guy? there was another guy, Tim. As a Boston guy, I might remember this, but the 86 World Series, the guy parachuted right onto the field in Game 6. It was unbelievable. And he got a standing ovation. Like, what is – like, today people would really freak out, right?
Yeah,
like,
I'd be careful. I've been in a couple of, like, some of these, like, really big, you know, like Ohio State or, you know, some of these stadiums, a ton of people, and they're, you know, they're like snipers on the roof. Like, I'd be careful parachuting in.
Yeah, so you might want to be careful parachuting in into Innsworth. They got them snipers on the building.
We don't have that here.
Well, Tim, before you came on, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but it has been reported that the Jets have fired their general manager, Joe Douglas. So now the Jets have fired their GM. They fired their coach about a month ago. When you look at what's gone wrong for the Jets, it's a long list. But when you see what's been going on in New York with that franchise in particular, what's been the primary source of the problem for the Jets in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten it wrong on the players. I mean, let's just – like that's – I mean, that's definitely happened, right? Like, so, you know, Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, and, you know, some of it previous regime, some of it not. You know, and then you just look at, like – like we're talking to that, but like they've fired offensive coordinators. They've like they've really struggled to get it right. And then I probably, like most people, thought, well, like getting Aaron Rodgers will help you fix it. The injury didn't help that, and so then it really didn't. So like I just the players that they've chosen haven't worked out, and you know the front office and the coaches typically end up paying the price for that, and that's definitely what's happened there. And now they're set way back. Like, you know, some of these places, when you look at them and you're like, oh, okay, it's rebuilding, and what does that look like? Well, there it's going to be a complete rebuild, especially when you consider, you know, it's like Aaron Rodgers. It's also Devontae Adams. It's also Hassan Riddick. It's all like, you know, some of the veteran players that they went out to get. And so they're going to end up having to probably trade off really good players that they don't want to. Yeah. So something's going to happen with Sauce Gardner. Something's going to happen with Garrett Wilson. Like, you know, Breece Hall may be somebody that becomes available. Like, that's just going to end up happening at the Jets. It's going to be a team that's got to dig themselves way out of a hole.
Will Levis had a solid game against a tough defense in the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. If I recall correctly, he said he actually liked his game the previous week more against the Chargers. But regardless, I would say two solid performances in a row by Will Levis relative to what we had seen from Will Levis before the injury. As you've watched him specifically over these past 2 weeks since he's returned from injury, is there something about his game that's improved that's really stood out to you?
Well, he hasn't had the catastrophic, you know, mistake, right? So, I think that's the biggest thing in the last 2 weeks. Like, there hasn't been that, just like the brutal mistake that you just look at and you're like, that's like, just no one can win with that. So, you know, I think that's probably the biggest thing that's been the difference. And I would also just say, too, like, just even this week, like, you hit a go ball, you know, backed up inside your own 5 yard line, like, the game's going to feel different, right? Like just the other than getting a first down and punting, you know, having something like that happen in a game is going to make the feel of the game. It's going to make the numbers when you look at the stats just look drastically different. So I would just say the big thing would be like not the brutal mistake. And look, if you're not making the brutal mistake, then you're going to have a chance to win, much like, honestly, the chances to win the first couple weeks of the season. Like, you eliminate the brutal mistake. Like, you're in those football games. So I think that's been the biggest difference. And if he can continue to do that, then, you know, I think that's certainly a big help to him and whatever his future will end up looking like in the league.
Now, Jim, what do you think his ceiling is? Because obviously we've seen some really good plays or some really good play and throws by Will Levis. I try not to be too, you know, sort of gung-ho when I see a throw being made. It's like you're supposed to make that throw. You're an NFL quarterback. That's not a wild throw. It's just a routine throw. But we've seen the good. We've seen the bad. But what do you think the ceiling for him is? Is he a legitimate starting quarterback or can be a legitimate starting quarterback in this league from what you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, look, he physically can. It comes down to the decisions. It comes down to, you know, when we've talked about the stuff before about like the stuff that we know he knows. If we're sitting in a quarterback room on the whiteboard, like he knows then, but like doing it in the heat of the moment. So like, you know, I look at somebody like Geno Smith, who got off to a really tough start, you know, in his NFL career in terms of playing pretty early, not really playing great. You know, what is he going to turn out to be? Does he end up becoming a starter? He does. And then what does that look like? Like, can Will Levis end up being Geno Smith? Yeah, he can. He definitely can. But, you know, Geno Smith had to make a few stops before he ever found himself in an opportunity to become a starter, and he had to have some good fortune in terms of getting the opportunity. So, like, I think I've seen it enough to know that, like, Will Levis isn't going to go into training camp next year as the presumed starter. Like, it's just not going to happen. And so when that happens, your path to playing, your path to becoming a starter again would have to look like Geno Smith's.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the undefeated Innsworth Tigers.
11-0.
Who will be hosting McCauley this upcoming Friday. For the
The semis? The semifinal. Yeah, I mean, what is it? I mean,
I'm sorry.
I mean, three cones.
Three cones? He's thinking about the semifinals? He's thinking about how many cones he needs.
Exactly.
We had a
huge discussion, and I know we will have it again today because now that Willie's in studio, but about the whole, you know, illegal formation. Listen, it was a point of emphasis early on in the season, in the preseason. We saw it the first game of the season. I think Baltimore got called for like three or four of them. And John Harbaugh was going erratic on the sideline. But since then, I don't think we saw it as mm-hmm. much. Now, there's been calls here and there. But it just seemed like every crew isn't on the same board in regards to how to call it. Because if you look at the Titans game, yes, you can say, okay, was he on the line of scrimmage? Was he not? Okay. But then you watch the Kansas City game or you watch another game and you see their tackles damn near in the backfield, but they're not being called.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the league needs to do? Should this be one of those things where, you know what, give them a warning, let's go easy on it, let's not make this sort of a mandate where we are watching each and every play, whether the tackle is on the line of scrimmage or not, because a lot of it is based on the guard, because he's basically lining up on the guard. And if the guard's
here's
off.
Here's the way I would look at this, okay? Mm-hmm. Here, I think what everybody wants is consistency, and I think that's kind of how you started it. It's like, well, it was a big deal early and then not late. This game it's called, this game it's not called. That, I think, makes it impossible for everybody. Like, I think you say, like, all right, what's the rule? All right, here's the deal. The rule is, like, if you're going to be on the line of scrimmage, your helmet needs to break, you know, the belt line of the guy inside you. So the guard can be said, but, like, his helmet's got to be in front of the center's waist. And the right tackle, his helmet's got to be inside the guard's waist. And, like, and if you do that, then you're good. Like, you're going to be fine. Like, there's going to be, you know, a little bit of V to your formation. That's understandable. That's been going on in the league forever. And but, like, there's a clear, easy way to figure out, like, hey, are you on the ball or are you off the ball? Like, you on the line of scrimmage, you in the backfield. And so, look, and like, do I think that, you know, a tackle should get a warning in the National Football League? Like, I actually don't. But if you wanted to say that, look, like, guys, here's how we're going to do it. We know what everybody is trying to do, and so we will give you one warning. We'll say, hey, 78, 78, like, you got to move up a little bit. Like, you give them one warning and then you call it. Right? Like, to me, like, that's so simple. It's easy. It's a pre-snap thing that I think that, like, I don't think that's difficult to officiate. I don't. And here's what I would say, like, the rule's clear. So, like, that should be consistent across the board. Right? Like, there shouldn't be, it's not a judgment call. It's like, hey, is his helmet, you know, passing, like, you know, the waist of the guy inside him? It is, we're good. It's not, we're not.
Tim, let's ask about the other controversial one, because these are, you know, it's one thing to complain about the officiating, but these are plays that nullify touchdowns or get a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, these are big, big plays that could swing a game that otherwise, you know, just with the final score, you're evaluating a young quarterback, and they really weren't in position to try to win the game late. They got too far behind, and, you know, you're looking at stuff. It could have been very different had these calls gone the other way. These are huge swings. So the collision in the end zone. Yeah. The guy in the corner throws the flag before the guy even hits the ground. Here comes the flag. And then there's a second flag. So two guys threw it right away. It's like a reaction. So I'm wondering about the process. Gene Steratore actually says on the broadcast, hey, the league could go in and buzz them and say, hey, we've looked at this. I think we can pick the flag up here. But it seems to be different in college, where you call the targeting, and then there's a long process, probably too long, where you go in there and look, and the guy comes back and makes the call one way or the other. And I think it's gotten to a point in college where they're not embarrassed to say, "Hey, there's no targeting." They kind of don't want to call a targeting. So why not this one?
Because the issue in the college thing is, you know, they're just saying, like, is the guy ejected from the game or not? Like, the penalty is still going to stand, even if it's not targeting. Like, the flag is still going to be a 15-yard penalty, and then you're just still going to – then you're going to decide if the guy gets kicked out of the game or not. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So, like, you're still getting the call wrong in college if you were – like, if that play were to happen in college and then say, oh, shoot, we got it wrong, it's not targeting, it's still a first down and impacting the outcome of the game. So, like, I think the college rule kind of stinks too, because you're ultimately not getting it right. You know, and I think that the league, whether they would admit it or not, is they're going to say, like, hey, you see a big hit, like, throw the flag. Like, let's make sure we get it right, which I think is a little bit what you're alluding to, in that, like, it came out so early and it was like, yeah, but, like, no, it wasn't. I mean, it's not into the defenseless receiver's head or neck area. It's definitely not leading with the crown, and it's definitely – you know, like, a shoulder to the chest of the defenseless receiver. Like, that's, I mean, there were no elements of it that, you know, were, you know, that should have dictated a flag. So I do think that, you know, just like you have expedited replay, to the league to jump in and go, hey, listen, that's a really hard call. We want you to do it this way, but we've looked at it in slow motion. Pick up the flag. Here's where I think the league has done a horrible job, and they would never admit it, okay? If that's Sunday night football, like, maybe they get involved. On a 1 o'clock game, you know, AFC, NFC, whatever, you know, team
right.
they have.
Eight games going on at once.
Yes, exactly right. Eight games going on at once. Yeah, I think somebody is, you know, got their face full of chips and salsa and is not on it.
I think that's 100% true. And I'll go to now. I think every year, all leagues, and I don't know what the NFL has as the process now, but there's more calculated ways of having, if you're going to have this, that make sure you're watching each game. You've got somebody assigned specifically to that game. So I agree with you.
I would make there's no way. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be like the top official that you have doing it on the big games. Listen, just like they do broadcast crews. Look, whoever you have doing the, you know, the number 6 1 o'clock game, like, you still got to be on it. You still have to officiate the game and have the resources, you know, associate. Because look, the other aspect of it is too, like, and I think a lot of people know this, and same thing on, like, replays. Like, you don't have the same number of cameras at every game. which is a little bit absurd because the games are just as important, like every game is. So, and the same thing happens in college football. And you need to have pylon cams, and you need to have your number of cameras at every game for replay to make sure you get it right should all be the same. It's not.
That call is impossible to make in real time. It should be much more part of the process. If it's questionable, let's go look at it. There should be as part of the routine, not just it's a big collision, throw the flag, end of story. Yep. That's kind of what I saw there.
Yeah. No, and I think you should have the ability to get it right, make it right in slow motion like they do on, other plays.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the 11-0. I made sure to get that in as many times as I could. 11-0, Ensworth Tigers, hosting the defending state champs Macaulay this weekend, this Friday. Derek, get all of you might have to go get some of your own cones, Derek. They may not have enough cones for you at Ensworth, so you may have to go and buy some of your own. But, Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
We need to set up, the Derek Mason autograph tent. What do we need to do to make this happen?
Hey, speaking of tents, can you get – because they do have them on Amazon or something. Can you get one of those tents where you set it up, unzip it, and I can pull my car in because it may be raining? I can pull my car in and then unzip it.
I think we're getting rain. That's one thing I will say, guys, as a coach, I pay way more attention to now. Holy shit. Sure. I don't think I looked at my weather app in 5 years. And then now all of a sudden I'm you would think it was breaking news, everything. All right, we got some rain. Okay, what's the rest of the week look like?
Here's what you do need, Tim, because I believe it's going to be rather chilly on Friday. You need a couple of space heaters for Derek. He goes nowhere. He doesn't go anywhere without his heating pad.
And make sure the plugs work. We've already covered that on today's show.
Make sure you have some portable space heaters for Derek for the stands, please.
Make sure the power source is checked.
Played at Michigan State. I don't think teammates ever wore sleeves when he played either. Radio has made this man soft.
Yeah, he is gone.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm 50 years old now, man. the body don't stay heated up the way it used to.
Tim, always a pleasure. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks. See you, fellas.
Yep.
615-737-1025. We need all of the cones, all of the space heaters, all of the surge protectors, everything.
Hot chocolate.
Yes, get them to Ensworth right now to prepare for Derek's arrival on Friday. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 106.3, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We're going to be asking for your participation in our next segment at 615-737-1025. I saw this really funny exercise that Nick Suss of the Tennessean put out on Twitter yesterday. He called it the Will Levis Progressometer, 1 through 10, and each number had a corresponding description, which I found to be quite humorous. So this is what I'm asking Derek and Willie to do, as well as all of you at 615-737-1025. And we'll get to this on the other side. Where are you on Will Levis from 1 to 10? 1 being you're done, you're out, there's no hope. To 10 being this guy is on the trajectory of a superstar quarterback. I want you to think of that 1 through 10. And we're also going to discuss where that number can get to by the end of the season. So 615-737-1025. We will do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.